The sad side, like I said earlier, is that many times we don't know. There was only Pastor Poju said once, Pastor Poju of Covenant Christian Center. He was talking about something. He said sometimes when people do things, they disobey God and get some things. He said, you know what you gained, but you will never know what you lost. Are you getting my point? Many times you know what you gained disobeying God. He said, but what you lost is something you may never find out. And when he was saying that, he was trying to imply that that thing is huge, but you never experienced it, you didn't know you lost it. I'll say it again. Fight to have every aspect of your life conformed to the righteousness of God. Don't say, my age grade, this is how they do it. My family people, this is how we are. Those are Amoritenesses and Hittitenesses. That is being an Amorite and being a Hittite. We must cut that umbilical cord. My message today is what? The fear of God. I'm trying to start it today. The thing is just not starting. All right. We'll start from this scripture. The book of Genesis chapter 31. Remember, we are talking about the culture of Christianity. And when I talk about the culture of Christianity, we are talking about our everyday living. That people, without knowing, will go to church. We just know this man, this woman, this couple, this businessman, this mother. They will know that they behave differently. There's something about them that is different. Even if they don't know, they go to church. That is what we mean by the culture. The book of Genesis chapter 31 is a story about Jacob and how he got to the house of Laban. And then, well, of course, Jacob had been in the house of Laban. And then he was now planning to leave. And Laban had treated him badly for a long time. They now had a discussion, all right, when Jacob tried to escape and Laban caught up with him. In verse 42, I want to bring out around that. Let me see. You will see that in verse 41, Jacob began to talk about his experience in the last house of Laban. He said, these 20 years I have been in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock. And you changed my wages 10 times. Where I want is verse 42. He said, if the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. He said, God has seen my affliction and the toil of my hands, and he rendered judgment last night. We won't talk about the judgment, but what I want to bring out is that verse 42. But the same thing he said again in verse 53. That Laban was the one speaking now. He said, the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. Jacob now spoke. The Bible says, so Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. The word I'm bringing out here, the expression is the fact that God was described as the fear of Isaac. When you talk about God, you talk about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What I want to bring out, talking about Christian culture, is that when they wanted to talk about Isaac, Jacob especially, Isaac was his father. He called God the fear of my father. I want to read the Amplified rendering of those two portions. In verse 42, the Amplifier says, if the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the dread and fear of Isaac had not been with me. And Amplified that further and says, dread lest he should fall and fear lest he offend. And if you go down again, he said, Jacob swore only by the one true God, the dread and fear of his father Isaac. Please, I'm bringing out something here. I listened to Derek Prince many years ago explain this. And this is because of that statement I learned from Derek Prince's message that I have come today to teach the Church of God the truth. Derek Prince said, there must have been something about the way Isaac walked that showed he was in fear of somebody. They never saw his God. But when Isaac wants to deal with you, that is, have a dealing with your business, you knew the man couldn't cheat you because he's afraid, in quotes, of somebody that you can't see. There was one encounter I had with a man shortly after, many years ago. Government, of course, because of certain issues, they reviewed our wages. They paid us some money, which was areas of some adjustments and all of that. And it came to a lot of money, but it had to do with your rank. And my rank was low then. I just came. All right? That was shortly, a few years after that. So my money total was, okay, to give you the figures, to make it easy. Then it was bigger than it is now. I was supposed to be paid 400,000 naira. All right? And we're expecting the money. And the money was good, amen. 400 at that time. Could buy you a nice, small, fairly used car, you know? And we had plans for it. Except that when I got my slip, I was paid 800,000 naira. So I was curious, what's going on? So I asked questions around. I found that 800,000 was paid to the tippy top guys, not people my level. So I walked to the accounts department one day, and I asked, please, so I have an issue. I brought my slip. I got paid this amount of money. I'm a bit surprised. That's not my rank. So the man by me said, oh, please, you are so-and-so person. I said, yes. He was planning to come and look for me. I said, all right, fine. So he said, let's go. So we started walking. I told him that, look, just confirm. I know that there's no need for confirming. You know, you walk in a place, we are at least 100 of us, so you know what belongs to who. I knew I was seriously overpaid. Paid me double what I was supposed to get. So I wanted to see what it would take to take the money back, or are they going to deduct it over the subsequent payments and all of that. The man just said, no, let's go. So we started walking. He said, no, I don't have to refund the money. That is not a big deal. What I will just do is that 400,000 extra, I will split it in two. I will give him half, and I can keep the other 200,000. Now, there are a number of issues. One issue is that I felt like you're a fool. Even if I wanted to steal the money, I'm taking 90%. Because the record is I'm the one that ate it. But that was not even the issue. I just laughed at the guy. That was my small issue. I said, can we do that? He said, yes, nobody will know. I said, somebody will know. He said, he's telling me, nobody will know. I said, somebody will know. The man said, nobody will know. I said, somebody will know. That's how I did my finger that day. I said, somebody will know. Once I said, somebody will know, my finger pointing upwards, he got my point. We parted ways. What I remember is the somebody we know. I'm talking about Isaac. That was how Isaac dealt with people. That the name of God in his time was the fear of Isaac. Please, I want to explain something. Because sometimes Christians carry the gospel of grace and they take it to a place where God never intended. You know, in my house, I'm a father. I'm a husband. One of the ways you maintain order in the house is to tell the children, I will tell daddy. I've seen the little boy in the house, parents, pulling the older ones, like the real pulling. That one was heading for my room. Please now, I told you, please. Because that is what is called the fear of Isaac. You can make people behave. You can make the children behave in the home by just saying, I personally remember one day, my daughter did something. My wife just said, let's go upstairs. Like what? Come. You want to report yourself to your father? She said, I cry. She started crying. Mommy, please. She wailed till they got upstairs. She had cried so much, there was no point to do anything. That means you're a mean daddy. It's not true. I'm not a mean father. You can ask my wife and ask the children. However, I keep on saying God exists in different dimensions. These days, those when we learn the word of faith, they say a child of God is not supposed to fear God the way you fear a rattlesnake. It's a lie. You should fear God the way you fear a rattlesnake. Because he can bite. And when he bites, his bite is deadlier than that of a rattlesnake. Listen, God said you can have different aspects of animals in you. What I mean by this illustration. He said you can be wise as a serpent and be harmless as a dove. There is a part of God that is worse than a rattlesnake. There is a part of him. And one of the problems these days is that people do not fear God. Why don't they fear God? They think he's not dangerous. And I'm telling you, it is a terrible thing to fall into the hand of the living God. Because the Lord our God is a consuming fire. And he consumes people. Sometimes those of us that preach faith, people don't listen to us entirely. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin teach one day. He said, we live in dangerous times. We should preach security, preach faith and security enough for people to feel secure. He said, but we should also preach against sin so that people will fear to sin because, he said, there will be judgment. Those who preach grace and faith, they should listen to that. And realize that this father of faith said, listen guys, warn people against sin because there will be judgment. He was teaching ministers and he said to them, he said, he just looked at him. The Holy Spirit just told him, see that guy? He's going to die before next year. 40 years old. He said, by next year, he's going to be dead. So he called him. The Holy Spirit said, I should talk to you. What is the issue? He said, the problem, what was going to kill this preacher is that he was a married man and he had eyes for other women. And the Holy Spirit told him straight, tell him he'll be dead within a year. And this prophet told that man, and the man repented and made a success of ministry. Another man was told, he said to the other man, see me. That one refused to see him. One day, commotion, he woke up in the morning, dropped, dead. He didn't die immediately, he became unconscious, they rushed him to hospital. Ken Hagin said they prayed and prayed, had prayer chain, had intercessors. This was a Bible school student. Finally, he remembered what the Lord said. The boy died. He said, for this, his wife told him, Papa Hagin said, come and see me. Are you not going? He'll brush it aside. One of the elders said, I was there the day he said, see me. When are you going to see him? He'll brush it aside. Then one day when he wouldn't go to see him, he dropped and he died. And somebody tells me Satan killed him. It's irrelevant who killed him. He's dead. He's dead. Would the fear of Satan have saved him? No, answer me now. No. The fear of who would have saved him? No. So what does it matter? We still have fighting. Who killed him? Whether it's God or Satan. Listen. I'm talking about the fear of God. And I want to preach a message that's not popular in Christianity today. Ever since we came out of that what we call holiness movement, I told this is a mistake with people. They throw away the baby with the bathwater. There is a reason why something is called holiness. You may not like the way they dress, but there is a message of holiness. Take the message, which is the baby. Throw away the bathwater, which is their own excesses. But please don't discard both the message and the bathwater. The great man of God, who many of us who want to know God, we quote him a lot. Can I take it? He said the Lord appeared to him once and said, you will have not lived beyond the age of 55 if you continue to disobey me the way you are disobeying me. Why? I told you, you are a prophet and a teacher. You said they don't like to hear prophecy. You continue teaching. I will tolerate it for a long time. He said, but if I didn't stop you today, age of 55, you'll be a dead man. He said, Satan will have killed him. I don't care who kills you. You are dead. And what will save your life? The fear of God. He said, fear the Lord, ye his saints. The message to fear God was not written to unbelievers. It was written prophetically to Christians. That's why I said, fear the Lord, you his saints. That is, many Christians don't fear him. Sometimes when we are discussing, when I see what pastors do, or people who call themselves Christians, I say, is it that they think God has died? people, don't they fear God? You see a man, he's a preacher. He preaches what he knows is a lie because he wants to collect money. And I look and say, does this man not fear God? You cannot rebuke a devil that God allows in your life. I hope you understand that. When Paul said, a messenger of Satan was given to me. He said, I rebuked him 10 times. Did he say so? What did he say? I besought the Lord. He said, I besought the Lord 3 times. And the Lord said, oh boy, relax. When you are weak, you are strong. My grace is made perfect in your weakness. I mean, I want to emphasize something. You cannot rebuke a devil that disobedience to God brings into your life. You can't. You don't have that power. People need to fear God. What is the fear of God? It is simple. The fear of God simply means that I know he's watching me anything I'm doing. I know there is no way I can run away from his presence. That if I go to the depths of the earth, he's there. If I'm thinking the thoughts in my heart, he's hearing it. Do you get my point? You can't even think and he won't hear. Hey, this is terrible, isn't it? We can't even plot that. This is what we will do to escape his judgment. As we are plotting it, we are discussing with him. You know what we're going to do is, I'll quickly do this. And I'll go and repent. I will ask for forgiveness. Yes, you know he's a merciful God. So let's quickly go and offend him first. And the Bible makes it clear that those thoughts, he's hearing them. And he calls it mocking God. That's what it means to fear God. It means anything I'm doing, I don't care who sees it, who doesn't see it, I must be able to present it before him and defend every step of it. I should not assume that he does not know. I shouldn't think he does not know my heart. What does it mean to fear God? It means because of this, I run away from everything that is evil. It means that I understand my judgment is not with man. I can do what is unlawful, bribe my way out of the judicial quagmire I find myself in, but I know this God cannot be bribed. Let me tell you what it means to fear God. When a Christian fears God, and they put a gun in his head and say, change this election result, you are a returning officer. He looks and says, I can't fear you that can only shoot the head, but cannot sell the soul. Do you understand? You can't send the soul to hellfire. Are you not afraid? I am afraid, but just not of, I'm afraid of you. But there's somebody I fear more than you. I like what the pastor Christo Kote said once. He said, when two authority figures give conflicting instructions over your life, he said, choose the one you want to obey and get ready for the judgment of the other one. So Jesus said, fear, don't fear the one who can destroy the flesh. Fear the one that after killing the flesh, he has the ability to take the soul and throw into hellfire. What was the issue about Isaac? People understood that Isaac wouldn't ever cheat you of anything. Isaac just understood that even if you don't see it, my judge sees it. So Isaac walked in a way that was circumspect. Isaac was careful that if, no matter how well you think, like something is, if Isaac did not think it was right in the eyes of God, Isaac wouldn't do it. What is the fear of God? I'll tell you. The fear of God was when Mrs. Potiphar came to Joseph and said to Joseph, lie with me. And Joseph said to her simply, how can I do this wicked thing and sin against Potiphar? Was that what he said? Answer me now.
No.
Did he say, I'm sinning against Potiphar?
No.
The opinion of Potiphar was not the problem as far as Joseph was concerned. It is, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Listen, what's my message today? We should fear of God. That is, and please, I came with one anger. I'm angry against the doctrine that says, don't fear God the way you will fear a dangerous thing. No, I came today saying, fear God the way you fear a dangerous thing. Because this God is more dangerous than the dangerous things. That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry, I disagree with a lot of people in my category. You know, faith message, you know, grace message. This one, Jesus never. You know the funny thing? Let me tell you this, yes. I found out while meditating that the judgment under grace is worse than the judgment under the law. From the scriptures. Paul said, that's, I believe he wrote the book of Hebrews. He said, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That this salvation is greater than the one under the law. Therefore, the judgment is worse for those who reject it. I keep on telling people, when he says that the Lord our God is a consuming fire, he was warning Christians not to take, no, not to just, how do I say it? Not to just disregard this God. Not to make it look as if people say, because of grace, I heard that message that they said, Ananias and Sapphira, they were not true Christians. If they were true Christians, God would not have killed them. I say it's a lie. He killed them because they were true Christians. If they were not true Christians, he would have said they are just behaving like they are supposed to behave. That gospel, I don't know where they got it from. The Ananias and Sapphira were not Christian. No, it's not in the scriptures like that. Please, oh. Everything has a balance. I'm not saying God is... You see, this is where the people make the mistake. They think that when you preach like this, you are saying God is looking for you to, for people he will kill at every opportunity. That every mistake, do you understand? He strikes. No. Let me explain the principle. The Bible says he's slow to anger. I like to say that all the time. What did I say? He's slow to anger. And I keep on saying, anytime we repent, he's abundant in loving kindness. He said his mercy is everlasting upon those who fear him. So he said, fear the Lord, ye his saints. The thing about God is that he's very merciful. I am not in any way saying that God is an angry God. Do you understand my point? You know, I told you before, that is the problem. People find it hard to balance things. All right? So they are walking on the road. One day I was talking to one of our sisters. There's a particular church. I hope you know I'm not an angry man too. Just like God is not an angry God. But I still say things. There's no point us pretending. We know what we are talking about. I said, she used to go to a particular church. Grew up in the church. Nice church. I love the man of God over that assembly. In fact, listen. When he came to town the other day, I went to the place to go and listen to him. I've collected his messages at the time, listened to them. Nobody is perfect. Is that okay? Nobody is perfect. Nobody. I'm not perfect. And that's not. I'm not trying to be humble. I'm just telling you the obvious. So he too is not perfect. Amen? But I asked the lady once, I said, why did you leave the church? She said something. And the statement is very powerful. She said, those people tormented me. Those were her words. She said, going to that church was tormenting. I happen to have attended it also earlier in my days. And when I was serving in NYC, I went to 2 services there and I ran away. Because the man came preaching. You say you're a Christian, you are still selling cigarettes, you will die and go to hellfire. You say you're abusing your husband, you will die. That is, for 1 hour, the man was warning me that I'm dead and I'm on hellfire. That is not the gospel of God. Even though once in a while, I also warn that Christians, they should be careful so that they don't go to hellfire. Well, my own hellfire for people is not for Christians. It's for those who think they are Christians, but actually they are not. They come to church, but they really have not yet accepted by faith the sacrifice of the Lord. And it's shown in their works, all right? Now, I've been to those services, and I can assure you, you cannot make spiritual progress with that kind of attitude. Sometimes what we call holiness movement is nothing but condemnation movement. All right? Now, is that condemnation which Christians must never preach? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set all of us free from the law of sin and death. If you are free, give me an amen.
Amen.
Thank you. It is wrong for anybody to tell you that God is going to kill you for any reason, for every reason he can find. You are not living life trying to avoid the wrath of God. That's not what your life is about. Your life is about living in the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. My message today, however, is that do not take that liberty, do you understand, to the place where God did not intend for it to go. My liberty in Christ does not allow me to have a girlfriend just because God won't send me to hellfire because I have believed. That is when I will die fast. That is what is called mocking God. What I'm preaching today is that we Christians must never mock him. His grace, his mercy is the reason why we should tremble before him and be unwilling to offend him because he has been good. Are you getting my point? You do not cause trouble simply because you know you have a father that can, you know, deliver you. When you do that, if your father is a godly man like me, I will leave you in jail for 3 weeks. And I'll beg one policeman to harass your life day and night. So that you will learn to what? Fear. And you will see clearly, the Bible makes it clear to us that Jesus, in the days of his flesh, cried with much, prayed, how did he say again? With loud cryings and supplications to him that was able to deliver him from death. And he was heard because he what? He feared. That word is feared. If Jesus had fear of that type in him, you and I should have it. That's what we're talking about. What am I preaching? It is wrong for anybody to tell you that God does not ever get angry. And when he's angry, he does not punish his children. I say to you under God, he does. He doesn't require the devil for that. He can do it himself. God can kill and make alive. And he can kill. That's the emphasis for today. We Christians preach as if only the devil can kill. No, God can. But again, my emphasis is irrelevant. Whether it's the devil that killed you or it's God that killed you, as long as you are dead. That's what I'm just trying to say. You know, the other day I was meditating. I said, look, there must be an answer. When the Bible talks about sin that is unto death, I'm not going to be dogmatic about this, all right? But I'm just, like Derek Prince would say, I'm just feeling my way around. Because ever since I read that scripture, I've been trying to say, what is the sin that is unto death and the sin that is not unto death? The ones I was reading, something caught my eye when John was speaking, that first John chapter 5. He said something. There is a sin that is unto death. I'm not saying you should pray for that. He now went down to say, now, you see in that verse 18, John now said that, he said, we know absolutely, now, before that, he said that all unrighteousness is sin, but there's a sin that is unto death, all right, and all of that. He now said in verse 18, I want to read the Amplified there. He said, we know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin. When we were reading before, we emphasized the word practice sin. What was John saying? Now, please, look up, all right? I don't want to go spend time on it. I'm just trying to feel around like I told you. It occurred to me, therefore, that what John was saying is that the sin unto death is the one that a man knowingly and continually practices. John says, if you see a man doing that, leave him alone. He wants to die. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I am teaching the fear of God that makes the Christian know that if I'm a politician in Nigeria, I cannot say, because it is Nigeria, I will keep on cheating, canceling, no, defrauding people, stealing government money, and going to church, paying tithes and offering, and pretending like because I walk under grace, there will be no judgment. That is what I am saying. That is a lie. There will be judgment. God may be long-suffering, but he's not ever suffering. There is a world of difference between being long-suffering and being ever-suffering. A Christian man goes to church. He says, I'm a Christian. Gave his life to Christ. He's going to church every day. Any service he comes to, is the girl he will toast and sleep with that he's looking for. Hear ye the word of the Lord. You will die one day very soon. That is not because God is angry. It is because you have made the practicing of sin a habit. It is a sin unto death. That is the fear of God I'm preaching. One day, one man said, I heard the story. God spoke to him. So, you know, preachers will go around raising money and collecting court. I said, sometimes I tell my wife, these people don't fear God. This word of God, let me tell you my attitude towards the word of God. I don't even like to use it to argue with people. I don't know where I get my point. If me and you have a disagreement, I don't quote scriptures to support what I'm saying. Because I'm afraid that what I am doing is abusing a privilege of the knowledge of the word of God that I have. So I can, figuratively speaking now, I can push you and shove you. I don't do that. You understand my point? We can argue up and down, but I'm careful not to quote scriptures. Even when if I disagree with my wife in the house, she may not know, but I'm careful. When I'm angry, I don't say anything. You don't hear me quote a scripture when I'm angry. I won't. It's a conscious, deliberate thing. I deliberately made up my mind. It's the word of God. Be careful how you handle it. When I quote scripture for her, it's when I've sit down. Now, I now put on the garb of a teacher. Do you get my point? Of a husband who is supposed to instruct his wife. Then I take the scriptures and begin to give you correction in righteousness. Not when I'm angry. It baffles me, therefore, when a man takes the scripture and turns it anyhow, just because it brings forth money. Go and read The Happiest People on Earth by Damon Shakarian. He talked about this young preacher in his 30s that was full of power and anointing. And the man took 2 hours at the end of a week's meeting, of several days' meeting, of blessing people. He took 2 hours to raise money with all kinds of gimmicks. And the Moshakarians people were people who feared God and they were decent people. His brother-in-law was so angry, he took the man by the hand to collect the bag of money from him. Demo said to him, leave him. You cannot put your hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. Let him go. It is between him and his God. He said, that man was in his 30s. I saw him 5 years later. He was hungry. He was broke. He looked disheveled. He came to beg for money from Demo Shakara, who he called a fool 5 years before that. He said 3 years after that, he was dead. In his early 40s, he was dead. Demo said something, which is what I would like us to also bear in mind. He said, I wasn't angry with him. I was sorry for him. I just felt that maybe he had been wounded in the battlefront, preaching the gospel of Jesus. Maybe the devil took advantage of him. But my own message today is that man, when he wouldn't repent of his ways, at the age of 43 thereabout, he was a dead man. Rick and Hagin said there are people that he wants to pray for, and he will place his hands upon them, and the Lord will physically yank his hands off the person's head. It was an invisible hand removing it. I said, Lord, what is happening? He said, because he's going to die. I waited for him to judge himself and stop committing the sin he's been committing. He refused. It's not a 2-day thing. It's not a 2-year thing. He said, sometimes God waited 30 years. That's why I said, God is slow to anger. He's slow. And I don't believe God just waited 30 years like that. I believe that sometimes this man will repent. He will repent for 2 days. Like Ahab. Go and read the story of Ahab. With all the wickedness that Ahab did. One day, when they went and prophesied, thus says the Lord against Ahab. Ahab went home and went and cried. And God said, look at how Ahab has humbled himself before me. But he made a mistake. The idols of Jezebel were not removed from Israel. So he went back to his ways. Finally, God said, who will entice Ahab to go to Ramoth Gilead that he might fall there? The grace of Jesus has not stopped the fact that God still judges iniquity if we will not stop. Let me say it. Somebody was writing us the other day to remind me that I said I will say this. If you're a Christian and you're a politician, hear ye the word of the Lord for the next season. Stop stealing money. It's simple, it's straightforward. Go to every politician you know. That Banky said that God's long suffering has been stretched to an end. This is the interesting part. If you are not a Christian, you will live longer. Yeah, and allow you that chops money, he will outlive you by at least 5 years. Because he cannot disgrace the name of God. Tell the Christians you know that are going into politics that I said that I brought a word from the throne of God for them. That God said, it is not forever. I'll just be looking at this thing like nothing's happening. No. The time comes in which judgment will begin in the house of God. Let me end my message here. Our culture as Christians, people should know, like Isaac, that this man fears something. He fears somebody. He knows somebody is watching him, so he can't defraud me. I don't have to watch him. That was why Jesus said, you don't need to swear by anything. If you're a true disciple of mine, your yes must be yes. And your no must be no. And I'm adding my own words to it. And people will eventually find out that this man's yes is always yes. Why is he always yes? Because he knows when I say yes, somebody bigger than us all has heard the yes. And I'm held accountable to him. God is not a father that spoils his children. He's a good father. He's a very good one. But we just don't make mockery of his goodness and start living as if we don't believe and expect that there will be no judgment. Ken Hagin said, we should hear enough gospel of security to feel secure. He said, but we should be afraid to sin because there will be judgment. I hope you got my message today. Let's bow down heads and give the Lord thanks. Let's say, Lord, thank you. Thank him especially for the fact that you have the power to live above sin. God will not judge a man when he couldn't help it. God judges a man because you can help it. I gave you the power to help it. I was ready to give you the power to help it, but you refused to approach to collect the power to help it. And you are walking in a short circuit. Eventually, you've been electrocuted. So thank him because you have the power. Say, Father, I thank you because I'm free. Father, I thank you because I have attained the righteousness of God. It is the righteousness of faith. Say, Lord, I thank you because you love me and I can approach your presence anytime. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have confidence in your presence. I do not run away from you because of fear. I love you and you are my Father. I can come boldly to the throne of grace anytime. I renounce every unrighteousness. Say it again. I renounce every form of unrighteousness. Everything that takes boldness away from me. I renounce them in the name of Jesus. I renounce sin in the name of Jesus Christ. I live above the devil because I have the grace of Christ. Nothing can hold me down. No sin can hold me down because the Spirit of Christ is in me. Say, Lord, I thank you because indeed I am free. Father, I thank you because of the freedom that you have given your people, and I pronounce that freedom again in reality upon every life present here this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because of that freedom, go and succeed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Fear in this life. Once you fear God, you will not be afraid of any other thing. Failure cannot hold you. The devil cannot kill you. Hear me, armed robbers, they aim a gun at you, it will not fire.
Amen.
A bomb is supposed to go off while you are there, it will not detonate. Because God says you are I'm the only one you fear. For that reason, you will not fear any other thing. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Say it, I will not fear any other thing.
I will not fear any other thing.
That all my fear,
I have given to the Lord.
He is the only one that's my fear. He is the only one that's my dread. Therefore, I will not fear any other thing. In Jesus' name, safety is your portion as you travel. As you go up and down, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death.